On this episode of the Emulate This podcast, we're talking 16-bit, the battle from the early 90s between Sega and Nintendo, and we're also going to review Super Bomberman for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Mike! Press start! Welcome to episode 8 of the Emulate This podcast. Gentlemen, Mike, how are you?
Pretty good.
Five Card, a.k.a. Rory in the command bunker. How's it going?
Doing good, guys.
What's up, man? And we have a new guest on the show, first appearance. We have my bro, Kevin.
Hello.
What's up, man?
What's up?
Not much.
Kevin.
So,
hey.
Introduce yourself again.
Oh.
There we go.
We just had to get your mic on. Sorry about that, man.
That's my fault.
We're feeling things out.
I'm the engineer, and I really shit the bed on that one.
I'll
talk to the intern.
So welcome to the thing, the show.
Thank you.
The podcast.
The thing.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, welcome to this thing we got going. She got this good thing right here. You know what I'm saying, dude? Yeah, it's a good thing.
We have a good show. We have a good show here. We're going to talk 16-bit battle.
It's not that good.
It's what you make of it, right? It's what, you know. It's all in your imagination. Your imagination. But anyway, it's a 16-bit battle, Super NES.
16-bit wars.
First Genesis. And that, you know, that thing they had going on back in the 90s.
Yep.
And then we're going to get to a game called Super Bomberman for the Super Nintendo.
Very nice.
So we have a good show on tap. But first, I'd like to talk about something. Something we had on an episode ago. The Nintendo NES Classic. Okay. That I think we talked about how they, I don't think you should have a problem picking one up.
Sure.
I was way off.
But apparently Amazon sold out in one day or minutes or hours. I don't know. But they sold out. Okay.
I think it was like minutes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And there were sales on eBay going for $13,000.
What?
Yes. Which is,
it's got to be a joke.
They should find that guy who's doing that, and he should be banned from eBay.
Yeah. First off, it's ridiculous. Cause
they should make him eat the NES Classic.
well, first off, they're going to keep pumping these things out. I mean, why would someone spend, I saw $500. You sent me a text of somebody trying to sell one for $500.
Right.
There's probably going to be more out next week. And it's just going to keep rolling until the holidays.
Because people are suckers.
Yeah, these things are in a warehouse probably in the country. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's on both coasts, there's probably 100,000 of these things.
Standing by.
Right.
Waiting.
So I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't get why people buy them at all. You could literally have every ROM for free.
We went over this, why people are buying them.
Well, people are
idiots. The emulators.
Here we go.
Don't buy it.
It's not that. It's just because they're not looking to do a whole emulating thing. It's just give me the 30 fucking games. I'm fine with it. I'm done.
They don't want that much of a commitment. You know what
I
mean? The upkeep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just plug the fucking thing in. Oh, there's Zelda.
It's
Let
easy.
Me play
I
Zelda
want one.
For a little bit.
I want one. I do too. It's simple. You just plug it in.
I didn't know it would be that difficult.
No.
But I want one.
Well, I don't think it's going to be difficult. I give it a couple of weeks when they throw more. I think they're just creating some kind of patent. It's just, supply and demand. By them only shipping a few, they're selling out. They're on national TV. They're on Good Morning America. So it's promoting itself by being hard to get.
It was on Action News.
Was it really?
Brian Taft was talking about this shit.
Brian Taft.
You see, Jim.
Who was Brian Taft?
He's
you see,
hot.
Jim.
I don't know.
The NES Classic, Jim, it's selling out.
There's not enough of them.
I thought Brian Taft was on the podcast. I was amazed.
Brian Taft.
That impression
no, Rory,
so
it was me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No.
But yeah, I don't know. I think there's going to be, they won't be hard to get in a week or two or a month. But
I would think,
the hysteria will die.
They have plenty.
They'll flood the market with them.
I would think most kids that get these, they're probably not going to kids. They're probably going to adults our age. But
yep.
I would think most kids would be like, eh.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's okay.
True.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it. Yeah, I don't know if kids will be into
kids
it.
Kids don't appreciate it's more of an anything adult thing. Anymore.
Right, bastards. Right, right. So, real quick, let's we'll go around the room. What have we been playing? Mike?
I started Red Dead.
You started Red Dead.
Yep.
Hit the music, Brendan.
I don't know, fuck.
Welcome to Cowboy Country. How do you like it?
Well, you see here, playing Red Dead, walking into the saloon, meeting up with that old guy and all that shit. No, I mean, I'm in the tutorial stage. So I only played it for, I don't know, an hour and a half.
Yeah, you got to get past that.
Met up with Bonnie.
Yeah.
Tried to race her. And then
you lost?
Well, the control I have is the left stick. It's sticks. The left stick sticks.
Oh, okay. Right.
So a lot of times what happens, like when I'm playing the game, all of a sudden, like I go to talk to some dude.
Right.
And my character just starts going in a circle. And I'm sitting there trying to fucking like control. I'm like, stop. So when I'm on the horse starts going in a circle and it's very difficult to find the little campfires. So I lost like three times, and I was like, I have to get a new controller.
You lost to a girl, just for the record.
Yeah, you know, they probably do that on purpose.
Yeah.
I beat her my first time.
That's good for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I beat her my first time.
I have a right on the fucked up stick, right, you pieces right, of shit. All right,
we're going to put it on the controller.
All right.
But no, so far you like it. I mean.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, just want to make sure.
I also banged Bonnie. No problem.
Rory, how about you? Anything you've been playing?
My standby is Civilization. So I've been playing some Civilization.
Yeah, I've seen that. You showed me that game.
I love Civilization. I could do multiple episodes on Civilization and the strategy behind how to win and how to dominate.
Right.
I love Civilization. It is, I'm sure everybody, I would think most people are at least vaguely aware of Civilization. It's basically a board game. It's a hybrid of Risk. With some
Fucking love Risk.
It's like a hybrid of Risk in the Sim City to a certain extent.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, if you like that kind of stuff, it's. I watch Rory play. It's pretty involved.
What is this called? That?
Well, it's on multiple PS4, platforms. Right. The one that I play the most is Civilization Revolution, because they streamline. It's really from DOS, and then obviously the more modern operating systems. They're up to Civilization 6 now, with each one getting progressively more and more complex. You basically start in like the Bronze Age and you go to post space exploration.
Okay.
Wow.
And it's like a board game. It's pretty intense. There's a lot of strategy to it. My advice, my quick 2 second advice is invest in technology and then bypass fighting as long as you can, because the whole time that people are doing scrapping fights, you can't build armies and research at the same time. You really have to dedicate one to the other.
Right.
And my advice is to don't fight until the end. Like, race and get to the point where you're tougher with, like, tank-level technology, modern warfare, and then just wipe them out, because they won't be able – they'll still be using, like, flintlock pistols, and they're no matching. You'll just wipe them the fuck out.
I have no – those games are tough for me, because I have no patience with games like that, like SimCity.
You have to set up moves.
It's a lot of just setting stuff up. I don't have patience. You know what I mean?
It all builds up to like one day.
SimCity games, I just lose. Like, I don't even know. My bankroll starts going crazy, and I'm watching people are pissed off.
I love
SimCity. I don't last long playing, like, any of those Sim games.
I always knew you were a shitty mayor.
Dude, I'm an awful mayor. You would never want me to run your city. I'm just like, what the? It gets out of control so fast when I play those games. I don't know.
Well, you're probably always on vacation in Africa or whatever you're doing.
The African safari.
Virtual reality. Yep.
Running from Bengal tigers.
So I've been playing a little NBA Jam.
Wow.
On Sega Genesis lately. Yeah, that's a throwback.
Yeah.
16-bit. We're going to go into the 16-bit stuff. But that's a game that never gets old. I don't think it does. It's just fun as hell. Even to play the computer's fun. You know, it's challenging. Yeah. So... Love it. It still plays good.
Yeah.
Many variants of it. I mean, you know, there's a newer one that came out, I think, for Xbox. 360. I have that too, but
yeah,
you know.
It's the same style game, just different roster, and it has like this weird big head pseudo. It doesn't look good. Like they tried to make it more high def, but it looks weird. Like all the heads are photos. They're like they took like JPEGs and they just put them on everybody's same body.
Yeah, it's a lot to look at.
It's kind of weird to look at, but it's still fun. It's still NBA games.
It is. Yeah, they have the old announcer from the other one. You know, the guy that went boom shakalaka. That guy, he's in the new game too.
He's heating up.
Yeah, it was cool. But that's a game, and it's cool to see. Growing up, you know, fan of the NBA, it's cool to see, you know, those old players again. You know, you see those old.
Yeah.
That's when the NBA was awesome.
Yeah.
Like each team had like two dudes that were like superheroes. You know.
And the Sixers were terrible.
Yeah, the Sixers. I think in that game it was Sean Bradley and Witherspoon, Clarence Witherspoon. Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Sean Bradley.
Yeah, you don't really want to be the Sixers. And I think I don't know if it was Hornacek. I forget who the other guy was in the game, but I avoid being the Sixers in that game. But let's get to our topic, our discussion: 16-bit wars, Super NES and Sega Genesis.
A little TurboGrafx too.
Yeah, we'll throw in some TurboGrafx. They were in there.
Mix. They were a distant third, but they were in the mix.
Right, right. Well, it was TurboGrafx. Genesis was the first one. Genesis originally came out and it was competing against the NES, correct?
The Genesis and the NES were correct at the same time. The jump from the 8-bit NES to the 16-bit Genesis was like day and night.
Right, and Sega used that as leverage to sell their system initially.
And you would, too.
I would,
yeah. Genesis is a beast. It really is. The Genesis, compared to, say, the Super Nintendo, has a better CPU.
Actually, the TurboGrafx was first.
Oh, was that out first?
Well, the PC Engine in Japan.
I knew one kid that had a TurboGrafx.
At the same time as the NES.
Well, it was launched in North America in 89.
Well, good luck finding it.
No. You know what? Same time, actually. 89 for the PC Engine. I'm sorry. The PC Engine TurboGrafx. And 89 for the Genesis. My bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right, correct.
Same time.
Man, Genesis was early. But, it was going head-to-head against the NES, you know, and obviously it...
You can't compare most Genesis games to most NES games.
Right, exactly. And the Genesis release titles, it was Altered Beast, correct?
I did some research on this, yes. So my research staff is saying that Altered Beast, Space Harrier 2, Super Thunderblade, and Thunder Force 2 were launch titles for the American Genesis, also known as the Mega Drive, in Europe and the PAL regions.
Yeah, they're games that we didn't play. Because...
How about you?
Really, till Sonic. Sonic came with the system that I got.
Well, Sonic was not originally a launch title. The original packing game was Altered Beast, which is kind of an odd choice because it was a popular arcade game, but honestly, I don't think the game holds up. It didn't probably hold up even back then. Like, it's neat to become like a werewolf or like a tiger or a bear, but the game is kind of crap.
Yeah, we tried playing it. It's rough.
It's kind of crap. It's not an enjoyable game. And I watched a video online saying, like, Sonic was created to compete with Mario. And then I can't remember. Some guy at Sega was like, you got to pack this game in with Genesis and we'll sell a lot more. And he was totally right. Like, and they totally did.
Yeah, yep, yep.
But Sonic, again, was not originally a pack-in game. But when you got the Genesis, it was at that point.
Right. Because
it was well beyond 89.
Yeah, it was probably like 91, 92 maybe?
Might have been 91, 92.
Yeah, something like that. Jeez. It was right around the time that the Super Nintendo came out.
You know, another strength of the Genesis, actually, is that it's backwards compatible, which is kind of funny when you think about it. The Genesis, with a converter, can play Master System, which is the 8-bit Sega console. It's like the equivalent of the NES.
Yeah, you know what? I saw them. I saw those on eBay. They're actually expensive.
Well, they are now, but I think they were 30-something bucks back in the day.
Hmm.
So you could have played the entire Master System library, except maybe a couple of games that had special, like, I want to say 3D, but, like, there's, like, one or two games that were only Master System and they couldn't be ported over. But the Genesis allowed you to play Master System games. That's amazing at that time.
Yeah.
That's literally amazing if you really think about that.
It is different. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Because Super Nintendo didn't play NES games. They wouldn't even fit in the damn slot.
Well, they played Game Boy games. They had that converter.
Well, that was much later. But that's also a much, much smaller technology level, the handheld on a 16-bit system. But the fact that you could play 8-bit Master System games on a Genesis is a huge selling point. If you could find the converter, the base converter. You
could do that on the 7800. That was backwards compatible.
That was backwards compatible?
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Play 2600 games.
Didn't know that.
You know, the 2600 is pretty primitive.
Hmm.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so basically these two systems, Genesis and Super Nintendo, as soon as Super Nintendo came out, bam, they went head-to-head. And when Super Nintendo came out, Sega had to go, oh, shit. Because, you know, so
now,
Sega with the blast processing. That was their marketing campaign.
Of bullshit marketing. Whatever blast processing means, I don't know.
What is that?
It's
a marketing
bullshit.
Point.
It's a marketing thing. Because Sonic ran fast, therefore it's faster. It didn't make any sense, basically. But it looked good on commercials.
The Genesis had a better computer, had a better CPU, but the NES had much better visuals, and it had much better sound quality, and it had more RAM.
Right.
The Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
So the Super Nintendo, when you stack the systems side by side, I hedge more towards the Super Nintendo at the specs level because it's a better, more powerful system. The launch titles, again, for America, for the Super Nintendo, Super Mario World. I mean, you could argue Super Mario World is not only the best Mario game, you could argue it's one of the best games ever. It's a great game.
No, it's awesome. Do you think it's better than Mario 3? I like Mario 3.
Mario 3.
I mean, Mario 3 is awesome. I mean, that's like saying, would you rather have, one type of ice cream or the other? Like, they're both ice cream. Like, they're both great. It's awesome.
Okay.
Mario World, Pilot Wings. Mario World was the pack-in game. I don't believe Super Nintendo ever had another pack-in game. Pilot Wings, Sim City, which is a great port. I mean,
I didn't know that. That was a... was it really?
Mm-hmm. You would think that port of a DOS game about city building would work on the NES, Super NES, but it really did. I had that game. It's a great game. You play that game for hours. You know what's great? When you could have monsters attack your city, the natural disasters, and the Bowser would he would shuffle through your city and blow up your buildings and shit. Right. That was fun. Gradius 3, which is good. I don't really like Gradius, but it's still a good game.
Mm-hmm.
F-Zero. I love F-Zero.
Oh, F-Zero. That game holds up, F-Zero.
F-Zero totally holds up.
Yeah.
I prefer F-Zero for Super Nintendo to the other ones, like the N64 one.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now,
great.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, Kevin and I, we had Genesis. Rory had Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo.
So... We got to see both sides. Sometimes we would trade systems.
Exactly.
That was fun. We would trade for a week or two. And we would go to the video store and we would get games that obviously were platform. Because at that time, platform exclusivity was a real thing.
Oh, it was big time.
You couldn't play, for example, EA games. This is before EA became the awful money-grubbing whore that they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you couldn't play Road Rash. You couldn't play Skitchen. You couldn't play Joe Montana Talk Football.
Right.
You could play the Mutant League games, which are hacks.
Oh, Mutant League Hockey and the Madden Mutant League Football.
You couldn't play. They were all Genesis exclusives.
Yeah.
Could play them.
And then on the other side, Super Nintendo, games like Super Mario Kart.
Mario Kart. I mean,
classic. Kart. You know,
I argue Mario Kart is my favorite game of all time.
I love that game.
And that includes games that don't make in the future that I haven't played yet. Mario Kart is my go-to. I have 15 minutes and I got to turn off my brain. I'm going to play that game.
For the Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo. It's my favorite. It's my favorite game.
And
favorite
Super Bomberman, another game we're going to talk about later on.
Bomberman doesn't relax me. Bomberman makes me edgy.
Yes.
We'll get to that, though. We'll get to that.
Yeah, I enjoy Bomberman.
But, Mike, any experience with the 16-bit?
Not much.
No?
My buddy had a Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
So I just remember playing Super Mario World and Street Fighter. I remember he had, I think he had Chrono Trigger. I played Chrono Trigger.
RPG.
That's very rare. I mean, I've never even seen a real Chrono Trigger.
It's a $300 game now.
Right.
Yeah, it's an RPG. I think it's considered one of the better RPGs.
Some people say it's like not only the best game for the Super Nintendo, but they say that it might be the best game ever. Yeah. I've never played it. I'm not really a fan of RPGs.
It's a typical RPG. If you like RPGs, you'll like it.
I'm not a fan of it. I would never spend that kind of money. I mean, another benefit of the emulation
if it was amazing,
is
I would never spend.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Was that expensive when it came out? Was it regular price?
Probably $60.
Everything's
bucks.
Regular price.
Okay, so it wasn't one of those games that for some reason it was $100.
No, a lot of the ones that were like Earthbound when that came out, which is a very expensive game now, it's like over $100. Earthbound back in the day, I believe, was $80 because it came with like an oversized box and a guide.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember Star Fox too.
Oh yeah, it was a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that a launch title, Star Fox?
No.
It wasn't?
No.
There were some games. I remember for Genesis, there was a game of Virtual Racing.
Virtual Racing.
That game was over $100.
When it came out?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't a regular price game. It was actually very expensive. I don't know why, but I don't know. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure, I never owned it, rented it. But I'm pretty sure that was like a $100 game.
Mm.
I don't know. We'll have to Google this. I don't know. I'll look it up. But
what's it called?
Virtua Racing. Not virtual.
Like Virtua Fighter. You know, it's interesting because the Genesis, it was marketed more towards like the late teen, like the games had
it's
an
the adult
edge to them.
System. Right.
They were, I don't want to say like adult, but yeah, like it was marketed towards like we have violent games. Mm-hmm. We have games that aren't for babies. And the Super Nintendo, I don't know if they marketed themselves like that. It was definitely family friendly.
Yeah.
But the Genesis kind of like badmouthed their asses to make it look like they were. It was a baby's toy. It was a baby system.
But you know what? That's what I enjoyed about Super Nintendo was
what?
That departure from like some of the chaos
and
the like
craziness.
Violence
yeah,
in the
yeah.
games. And yeah, just that raw like with attitude.
Yeah.
I enjoyed going down to Rory's bunker.
Right.
You know?
The command bunker.
The command bunker.
Yeah, his
and,
command
and
bunker.
Just
yeah.
spending hours or weekends down there just, you know, playing that sort of vibe compared to
relaxing
what we were
type
used to.
Super Mario Kart.
It's definitely
more
Mario.
Friendly and just,
yeah.
you know, more.
A game like Streets of Rage could never exist on the Super Nintendo.
No.
Well, they had, that's the thing. They had Final Fight. Now,
Final Fight is crap compared to Street. I mean, you can't compare them. That's like
it's
more than day and night.
Yeah, but they competed against each other.
Oh
yeah, there was a rivalry in the beat 'em up genre between the two.
Right.
But I mean, my point is like Streets of Rage is gritty, and it's a deep fighting system, and it's not cutesy at all. Like, and it would never exist. They would never make it. For the Super Nintendo, like the Nintendo of Japan and America would like look at that game, like the prototype of that, and be like, put everybody in clown shoes. Like, yeah, like it wouldn't allow that kind of game, like that kind of grit, knives, like, and like,
right.
Streets of Rage is great. I love
it. It is a great game. Well, it's fantastic. Everything, music.
Hey, not to interrupt.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, $100.
It was $100. Virtua Racing.
Virtua Racing.
Yeah, why?
It says unusually high. The chip was extremely expensive to manufacture.
Yeah, the chip. I would think the chip.
No, that's why. That FX chip.
Well, the FX is for Super Nintendo.
What was for the... I don't know what it was. It was probably something.
It's its own equivalent chip. Yeah.
Rory, what was the Super NES? Was that Harvest Moon? Was that for Super NES?
Yeah, it was.
Well, there was one. Well, there's one for lots of platforms, but the one that you're probably thinking of was the N64 one, because we didn't have Harvest Moon for Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay. So that was N64.
It was N64 because I used to my brother because you'd have multiple save files. And if he pissed me off, I would go on his save file and
beat
play his
horse.
Farm. And
he used to beat the horse, right?
And I would beat his cows with hammers.
Yeah, his cows. They wouldn't produce milk.
He'd be like, my cows aren't giving milk.
The cows
and I'd be
are,
like,
cows are depressed.
Here, you get into that game. Yeah.
Sabotaging the farm.
People might laugh.
That's a great game.
You get into a game about farming. Like, yeah. I never got the horse. Because, like, the guy comes on the first level. He's like, you want a horse? And you're supposed to take the horse. And I wasn't really paying attention. I was just pissed off. Like, that day I wanted to play, not talk to people. And I told the guy, no, I don't want the horse. And I never got the horse again. Like, nobody ever offered me a horse. And I don't think you can buy a horse anywhere in the game.
Virtual
and
racing.
And I never dated anyone either. Like, just the point of the game is to get married, and like you meet like 5 or 6 girls in the town. My whole life was all farming. It was 100% farming.
Virtual racing is now going for $10 on eBay.
$10.
It's not a good game.
Wow, Harvest Moon. Kevin just found out Harvest Moon's going for $300.
I don't doubt it.
You know what? I'm going to look up
virtual racing. $10.
Yeah, $10. It looks like $10 to $20. What was the one? The Chrono Trigger. Let me look, because I know that's expensive. I'm just interested to see.
I'm sure what Chrono Trigger is very expensive.
Yeah, real quick. All right, we'll compare the two systems real quick and spec wise. Sound chips. They operate on totally different ways.
Yeah, you know what?
Go ahead, Mike.
I was looking at that. Hold on a second. Sound chips. The Super Nintendo seems to be far and above the Genesis.
It is, yeah. Sound quality.
But it's funny. Most games, when you played a game that was cross-platform, like Mortal Kombat.
Real quick, I'm sorry, Roy. 64K audio PS RAM to Genesis 8.
Right. But they used a different chip. Like, Genesis used FM, like synth, and Super Nintendo used like a MIDI file type thing, where they could just pretty much, you know, put music right onto it.
Okay.
From a recorded source. Genesis, they had to pretty much compose the music for the Genesis game, which was expensive.
Yeah, when a game was cross-platform, okay, and like Zombies Ate My Neighbors, the music was always better than the Super Nintendo one, probably because they had better hardware to do the sound. But the games that they sat down and actually made the music, and it didn't sound like it was like farts in a tin can.
Mm-hmm.
There were like Streets of Rage is a great example, or Echo the Dolphin,
right, or Sonic.
For a Genesis game, they sound amazing.
$130 for Chrono Trigger, real quick.
Wow. Yeah. So if they actually spent time, if you had a real good composer writing the music on Genesis, it sounded really good.
Nothing sounds like a Genesis. Like the well done sound, not just like the tinny fart sound, but like a well done soundtrack on the Genesis. Nothing sounds like
it. Yeah, it's true. I mean, it has a totally different style.
The Sonic games, they sound great. No, they don't sound tinny at all. They don't sound tinny at all.
No.
Toe Jam and Earl, they don't sound tinny at all. Like, they are just, and again, they're all platform exclusives.
Yeah, so they definitely spent a lot more time. And
I think it has to do with just like the skill of the programmer or just being like, fuck, we don't care.
Well, that's what's bullshit, because some games sound like such crap that you're like, you know, what the fuck? I mean, how can you compare the sound to, you know, a good-sounding game? If you buy, I'm trying to think of a game that sounds like shit. I mean, there's many of them. Tinny, farty. And it's actually hard to, listen to. You know, it's so awful, the sound. And then you hear, like, Streets of Rage, and it just sounds amazing, you know? Right. What's that?
You could listen to Streets of Rage, just the music. Like, you don't even need to play the game. You could put that on in your car and drive.
Exactly. And some of my favorites on the 16, on the Genesis, we had like EA at the time was making, you know, pretty decent. I had a lot of EA games, mm-hmm. Electronic Arts. We had
Road Rash.
Yeah, they had a good series of games, and a lot of them were, you know, they were good because they were 2-player games. General Chaos.
Right. General Chaos.
Played
a
ton of
that.
Game. Yeah.
It's a great game. And platform exclusive. Game.
Yeah.
A little slow paced. Looking back.
Now it's slow if you play it now.
Yeah.
But it was fun back then.
It
was fun.
It was just a lot of fun.
It was fun back then. It doesn't hold up really anymore.
It was a clever little game.
Yeah. Right, right. And there's, I'm trying to think on Super Nintendo. Some of my favorite. Oh,
you know what?
I got one.
There's tons of them on Super NES. Compared to Genesis, what I loved about Super NES was you could sit down with multiple friends and have sort of like a party game.
Yeah.
Like they were all like party sort of oriented, like gathering sort of games.
Right.
Like Bomberman.
Yeah.
And like Mario Kart, you know, with 4 players. There wasn't a lot of 4-player Genesis games.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't. And there was a lot more oddball games on Super Nintendo that were fun to play with people. Like here's one, Legend of the Mystical Ninja.
Great game.
Do you remember
that one?
Major
series.
You don't remember that one?
No.
It was the one, I don't know how to explain it. You were these two characters, and you,
you walked around
towns in
You pull it up.
You were Japanese. You walked around towns in like Japan. You could go to the horse racing. You played all these weird games. Remember you kill?
You could piggyback on each other.
Right, right.
This was on Super NES.
If you bring up a picture, he'd be like, "Oh, I remember that."
Yeah, I'm gonna bring it up for you, Kev.
That's a great. It's a great game. It's actually a major franchise in Japan. There's like
I'm looking it up.
Probably
here,
a dozen Mystical Ninja games.
Right.
In that franchise, a great example of tinny fart sounds is like Street Fighter II, which again is a multi-platform.
There you go. Right.
The Genesis version, while certainly playable and it plays probably at the same speed as the Super Nintendo, it just sounds like shit. It just sounds terrible.
It does.
Like the voice samples sound like shit. The music sounds like shit.
With what?
Street Fighter II.
Yeah, because that's another, you know, anytime they're ported from an arcade, it was usually better on the Super Nintendo.
Joe
that's
and
a
Mac.
Good rule of thumb.
Joe
the Super
and
Nintendo
Mac.
Version is better.
What's that, Kev?
Remember Joe and Mac?
Yeah.
Great game.
Great game.
Called Caveman Ninja.
Now, they're two different games on Super NES and Genesis. They're totally different. The way they the weapons, just the speed of the game. The Genesis one's more like the arcade, and the Super Nintendo one's more like its own game. I played both, and they're different. I played them recently, actually, just to mess around. Yeah. But
The distant third one is the TurboGrafx. I've never actually seen a TurboGrafx in the wild.
I've seen one. 16. When I was a kid, when a kid around the block had one.
No, I've never seen one.
Yeah, I've never seen one, never played one.
Yeah, that was Bonk's Adventure, right? That was TurboGrafx.
That was Bonk, but Bonk was not a packing game originally.
Oh, I thought that was like the
main guy. For the TurboGrafx 16... which is kind of a misnomer because it's not really a 16-bit system. It has a 8-bit CPU and a 16-bit GPU.
Uh-huh.
So, like, most things are measured in their CPU. So, like, it's like this weird hybrid of an 8-bit, like a Nintendo, and a 16-bit, like the Genesis.
So it wasn't really a 16-bit.
No, it's not really 16-bit, but it kind of is. So, like... It can play games. It's not. It's more than an NES, but it's. I'd argue it's not as high as the Super Nintendo.
It has a 16-bit video color encoder and a 16-bit video display controller.
Yeah, so I don't.
The packing game. My understanding originally was Keith Courage and Alpha Zone, which is a very crappy mech. It's not. It's a dumb. Like the TurboGrafx was not marketed well. I mean, the fact that I've never even seen one. Is your proof? Like, it was a distant third.
Yeah, it really wasn't marketed well.
Like, and again, it's just like stupid error after stupid error. Like the packing game should have been Bonk's Adventure, which I think eventually they came to their senses and made it.
Because
Bonk is basically a cave guy, a caveman that smacks people with his head.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, straightforward.
It's fun.
Yeah,
there's three of them. It's fun. I don't have any problem with Bonk. And Bonk 3 is two-player at once, which is something that Mario... Well, Sonic 2, you could play as Tails.
That's true. Tails kind of follows you around
but
a little bit.
You could never play two players in Mario at once, but Bonk 3 did that. And it's a fun game. Keith Courage in Alpha Zone, Legendary Axe, which is awful. I hate Legendary Axe. It's basically a Steinex, but more platforming.
Right, a Steinex. Yeah, it's a great
game.
China Warrior, which is god awful. That's like almost like a rhythm game. It's terrible.
Right.
And Alien Crush, which I believe is pinball.
Right. And then
Bad lineup.
Yeah.
Real weak
that system didn't hold up. Sega and Nintendo kind of went at it.
It's an example of how emulation. Without emulation, I never would have played any of the TurboGrafx games.
Yeah. No way.
And I'm glad I have them, and I'm glad I've played them. But again, as an adult, and I've played. Well, number two, excuse me, the vast majority of their library is Japanese only. Like there are so many. The PC Engine, the Japanese equivalent of the TurboGrafx 16, was very, very popular.
Right.
Very popular.
Right.
In fact, it was more popular in Japan than the Famicom, the Japanese NES.
It is cool. I don't know about the. Is this the one that you play the game on the card?
Correct.
Yeah,
like
the Hue card.
It's not a cartridge. It looks like a credit card.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's different.
It's a very popular system in Japan. It's called the PC Engine. and that library, there's a like for every one game that was released in America on the TurboGrafx-16, there's probably four or five that were not, that were just 100% Japanese only, that we never saw.
Right, right. And as the systems moved on, Super NES, Genesis, TurboGrafx dropped off. Sega did something that Nintendo didn't do. Sega kept putting add-ons.
32-bit add-on.
Yeah, yeah, they started piling CD. Add-ons. Correct. To up the power of the Genesis.
Well, to extend the life of the
extend
generation.
The life. Yeah. That's something I never got, and I never went into the 32X stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, they would have been better off just releasing a 32-bit system.
I think they were going to.
The Neptune.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. It wasn't called the Jupiter.
Right.
I mixed my gas planets up.
Mm-hmm.
They had a thing with planets like the Neptune, mm-hmm. the Saturn, which was a system. The Dreamcast might have been called something else. Like it might have been called not Uranus, but like it might have been called. I think it might have been called I can't remember. Like it had a code name, and it might have been another planet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that was their thing. Like all Atari thing. Systems were all named after cats.
Yeah, the Jaguar.
The Jaguar, the Lynx.
Right. Was there another one? What was the other Atari? It was it was the Jaguar? The Lynx
Jaguar
was the
last one they put out.
Yeah.
Now they just make games.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Everything else was numbers.
Yeah, that's right.
2600, 5200, 7800. They had the 400 computer.
Right, right. So they didn't even really go into the 16-bit.
No.
Atari,
well,
nothing.
Well, the Jaguar.
Well, the Jaguar.
Is,
the Jaguar.
But that was 64.
That's 64.
Right.
That's N64 era.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
well, there was the, what was it, the Neo Geo towards the end of that?
The Neo Geo, I believe, is technically 16-bit, but Neo Geo is like its own league with the number of sprites and colors that can be simultaneously displayed. I mean, you can't compare any of these systems to the Neo Geo.
No, well, that was pretty much an arcade.
The Neo Geo was literally an arcade.
Yeah.
The price, I'm looking at the price and the conversion.
The conversion kit.
What it is, like, it sold for $650 back in the day,
mm-hmm.
and that's equivalent to $1,100 right now.
Holy shit.
For a fucking video game console.
That's ridiculous. Well, that was out of touch. Like, that was that was way ridiculous. The games were how much? $200 for a game?
Oh, man.
Wow. They were probably a little more. Yeah, they're probably $250.
I mean, I can't imagine
still
having
$250.
Because the other systems are basically what a game console now would cost. Like, they were $200, you know, in the 90s. Which is equivalent to like $350.
Right. Wow.
When a new console comes out, that's how much a new console costs.
I can't imagine having games like that. Well, back then,
yeah.
Having Neo Geo quality games when they
if
were
you
out.
Played,
no, I'm talking about Super Nintendo and Genesis.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's how
if
much
you could have played. If you could have played Metal Slug at your house, forget the money. Like, if you could have played a game with that quality right after playing, say, a port of Mortal Kombat 1
right.
on Super Nintendo. You'd have shit your pants.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, the Neo Geo, you can't compare.
Yeah, so that wasn't even in the conversation because of the price. But yeah, the 16-bit, I mean, it's probably my favorite generation.
Oh, mine too, easily.
Yeah, because I think I was the most into gaming at that time. You know, started
Not
off...
only did we, was that like our time as children to get into mm-hmm. games, it is a golden age. Like, they invented at that time a lot of the quirks and the... the things that at this point are like old hat and stereotypes, they were all flushed out and invented it in this generation.
Yeah, right.
There's
and the marketing was crazy back then.
The game, well, I mean, it kind of had to be because
Genesis does.
When Nintendo,
you weren't going to have both systems. I mean, as Ryan and I said, we had Super Nintendo, and Ryan's family was a Genesis family.
Right. Yeah. So you got nobody had both. I don't know anyone had both.
I'm not aware of anybody that had both.
Yeah. Yeah. But
no.
It was Genesis or SNES.
Jordan had both.
Did he really?
Yeah. Our buddy Jordan.
Oh,
had
wow.
Both.
Look at him. Look at him. Special Jordan.
Jackass.
Both systems.
Yeah. He was
Yeah, it was always one or the other.
Yeah, it was always one or the other with this. Because you, it was almost...
It was almost like a silent, like, this unspoken...
Yeah, it was like a club.
You know, I'm like a Genesis guy.
Yeah, I'm a Genesis guy.
But secretly, everybody wanted to play the other one.
Yeah, so, I mean, they had all their... Like, I grew up playing, and there's a lot of games that I still love. Like, Greatest Heavyweights on the Genesis. I love that game.
Great game. Oh, that game is a slog, man. That is... You play that now, and it's a workout.
Like, it is.
And it holds up.
It holds up, it's fun.
It's a deep fighting system.
Yep. It's a fun-ass game. I love playing that game. So, with that,
can we close out with this?
Genesis done. 16-bit arcade graphics. You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis done. 16-bit sports action. You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis does. Genesis does. Genesis does. Genesis does. Genesis does. Get Joe Montana free, Pat Riley free, Buster Douglas free, Super Monaco GP free, or Collins free. What Nintendo don't. Buy a 16-bit Genesis system between now and October 31st and get an extra game.
That's a hell of a commercial. They don't do commercials like that anymore.
Wow. I wonder if that offer is still valid.
Yes. Well, Bo Jackson, he was actually in a commercial for, Super Tecmo Bowl, right?
Well, it was for Nissan,
yeah, but he was in the game. Yeah. And I wonder if that had anything to do with Nintendo coming out with the NES Classic. I wonder if there was some kind of
weird deal worked out. Retro gaming is huge. Yeah.
It's huge.
It's huge. It's like a whole separate market from actual video game. It's like a thing now.
It is.
And you know what?
It's a culture.
This whole when this thing hits, I mean, it's already hit.
Well, we're doing
NES
a goddamn
classic
about it.
Yeah, true.
But when I mean, this is even going to make retro gaming, because you don't even know if people. Excuse me. You don't even know if people who haven't been into gaming so long get the $60 item and then all of a sudden go, I'm going to go get a real fucking Nintendo or a real Sega Genesis or Super Nintendo and build up their systems, you know? And then they're older, so they have money to spend. So, oh, yeah, Chrono Trigger's $120.
Yeah,
I'll
whatever.
Buy it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, Nintendo's definitely jumping in. They're doing it the right way. You know, they put out their own system, you know. But why don't we move on to the game review for this week?
Okay.
Super Bomberman for the Super Nintendo. Oh, yeah, Super Bomberman for the Super Nintendo, put out by Hudson Soft. Actually, a little bit later than I thought it was. It was 1993. Played a lot of this game over Rory's house.
A ton of it.
Kevin
Great
and I.
Game.
Oh, yeah.
Big memories with this game.
I even know this game.
Mike knows the game, right? So you've been playing it recently, too.
Yeah, but I remember this game when I was younger, too.
Yeah. It's an absolute classic game. So pretty much, for those that never played it, you're in battle mode. You can play with up to four people. You're on one screen at a time. And the point is to... kill everyone else on the screen by dropping bombs. It's puzzle based, so I mean, you have to knock blocks. You have to get power ups. There's different things you can do. Like there's a kick power ups. There's a time bombs.
Time bombs.
Right.
I like that.
There's the punch where you could slide the bomb across.
It's like a bigger blast.
Yeah. Yeah. Bigger blast. The smiley face, the flame thing.
Right.
That makes your blast bigger.
The skates.
Yep.
This game's awesome. I love this game. Big memories with this one. And the music's great, too. I love the music in this game. There it is. I love that. The music from Area 1.
Especially when the clock starts.
Oh, yeah. It gets tense. And the walls start. The walls start coming around.
Yep.
This was an awesome game.
It does have a campaign, I guess you'd say. But I almost never play the campaign, ever. I always play battle mode, even with computer-assisted bots.
Battle mode is way better.
The deathmatch.
The campaign just feels pointless in a way. It just doesn't... It's not as satisfying. And the bad guys aren't... Because you're not playing other robots. You're playing a bunch of creatures.
I'm not sure you're actually the good guy. Because they don't seem to be, like, wanting to give you any, like, trouble. They just kind of want to, like, walk around and do their own thing, happy. Right. And it seems like you're the one who's stone cold blowing them the fuck up. Like, you're the one that's going after them. Like,
I don't know, the boss at the end of the first level's
trying to smash you with a hammer.
True. Yeah.
Although, you don't know, maybe you've invaded his space. He's like, what the fuck are you doing here?
You did kill like 10 levels of his friends. I mean, is it justified? I don't know.
The game.
All I'm saying.
Yeah, battle mode's way more fun.
There's too many. There's too many levels.
Way too.
Like,
I mean, there's eight stages in each area?
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah.
And sometimes the stages, it's not like you're done them in 2 seconds.
No, some of them take many continues.
Because the bombs have fuses, there's actually a lot of, like, waiting around for them to be duds or fuck up. Like, you're just like, ah, I missed. Ah, I missed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I don't play it. It's not fun. But the battle mode is where people go. Like, that. When you think Bomberman, you think battle mode.
There's that one, real quick, there's that one enemy in the regular game, I guess, is... that blue thing that eats your bombs, and you have to like time it just right so he comes right up to it, and then it blows up.
It looks like Pac-Man.
That thing's fucking annoying.
Yeah, it is. I got to a certain point. I was telling Mike this the other day.
Yeah, this is funny.
Where, you know how each level is different? Like, it just regenerates whatever the hell you call it. I can't find a word for it. But anyway.
Respawns.
Well, each level is different, so the game's never the same as when you play it twice. Right. So there was one level, and you know that at the end of the level, you have to go in a TV.
Okay? Right.
So you have to find a TV. The TV is usually hidden in the box. I assume it's a TV. It looks like a TV.
It's a portal.
Yeah, it's a portal. So you see that portal. Now, I don't know. It looks like a TV. All right. So anyway, you have that portal. So what happens is if that portal's exposed when you're playing the game and a bomb hits the portal, it'll spawn a bad guy. Right? It'll just spawn. I was in a level where they screwed me. They put the portal not behind a block. They just put it out in the open. So I have all these time. There's all these.
You didn't blow up anything?
I didn't blow up anything. The portal was already open. And it's like level 4 something. It's hard as shit. I have all these creatures just running around. I have these bombs. They're running around on their own, just blowing themselves to shit. And they kept going to the portal. And I couldn't fucking get there. I'm trying to get to the fucking portal, but they kept spawning each other. The whole fucking screen was covered. It was like I was trying to like cover up a dam with chewing gum. It was fucking ridiculous. I was going out of my fucking mind, man. I was going out of my mind. I couldn't fucking get there because as I started working my way over... They kept spawning, and the guys they were spawning were working their way to me, so I'm busy killing those fuckers. It was ridiculous. It was last week. I was going nuts.
It was last week.
Yeah, I was going nuts.
Yeah, it's funny. There's probably, like, over 50 games in the Bomberman franchise.
Yeah.
And I looked it up. Since 1983, that was the first iteration of Bomberman. But Bomberman is even on the current platforms. Like, they just keep making them. And they're classic. Like, you can't beat Bomberman. Like, nothing is better. See, Bomberman wouldn't work with, like, guns that shoot immediately at each other. You know what I mean? They have to be delayed bombs. Because that's where the crazy... Because the crazy thing is, you both put bombs down, and then you and the other guy both safely move on a right angle.
Right.
Okay? And then you're just staring at each other, because you can't only drop one bomb.
You're just
giving each other these nasty looks. You're like, I'm going to fucking get you one of these days, you shitbag. Because it's all about freaking people out. Because, like, what you do, my strategy in Bomberman is to literally follow a guy around everywhere. Just to, like, do this with the game, too. Because it can't handle it. If you literally follow them everywhere and they'll put a bomb down and then they'll go in a right angle around it, okay?
Right.
Then you go where they're, because you can do multiple people on top of each other, okay? You go to right where he is and then you drop a bomb where you're both sitting. So now you have to hope that the bomb that he originally put down has like a second.
Yeah.
Because then you could go.
Right.
So like I literally try to like suicide bomb my way into it. I'm just like both going or one of us is going to go. Like, or here's another good thing that you can do in the game is that you want to time because they have delays. You want to throw your new bomb to explode because you can make chain reactions.
Right.
So if you can throw your bomb that has, let's say, a 3 second at default fuse, if you throw it, punch it, kick it, okay, into somebody else's bomb explosion path that's just about to go off, then that bomb, they all go off at once and it kills everybody.
Right.
So they might be safe, but if you kick a bomb and it hits that trajectory when you kick it, at the last second, and it will go off, and it will go like a snake around corners, because that's what the game's all about.
Well, that's where you totally screw people. If you have the punch, you can be on one side of the screen, you knock it over the wall, and it comes onto the other side and totally screws somebody if you can time it right.
If you get punched early, then you're like a badass. Because they're trapped on their corner as well. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting there trying to like doof it over the side and like punch it in there.
Right.
That's great. When you get boxing glove early, that's fucking great.
Yeah, it's
you're just
important.
Like, oh, it's fucking on now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm reading here that apparently there's a special password, and it's 5656.
What does that do?
It makes Bomberman much smaller than normal.
Really?
And then it says this has no effect on gameplay.
It makes him smaller.
It's like, okay.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
It's a good password system, by the way, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of nice. You start right where you left off.
Yeah, and just keep continuing if you want.
Yep.
Which is
you
really
know what's
neat.
What's funny in Bomberman is that you make your own games when you play them. Like, the actual gameplay is the same. Kill everybody, okay? And don't die in the process. Although you end up fucking yourself over more than they probably kill you.
Right.
Like, how many times do you put a bomb down and there's no exit for you? You're like, fuck.
Oh, all the time. All the fucking time. And you do. You feel like such a... It is a game that can make you feel like a total asshole.
Yeah.
Because you do. You put the bomb down, and you're like, I don't have nowhere to fucking go. Right. I'm just blocking myself in.
But you can make up your own games within the game. Like, we used to play when we get the multi-tap. So we'd rent the game, and we get the multi-tap with it. And we would all play everybody attack my brother or my other brother. Right. So, like, all three of us would go after one guy, and we wouldn't kill anybody else until that guy was dead. And, like, that would just, like, drive him to death. Everybody would go after him.
Right, right.
So, if two of us had boxing gloves, we would just keep, like, punching him over the sides trying to get
him. Well, this is the game that Rory kicked his foot.
Oh, jeez. Right. In the bar.
Through the bar.
I did. I was so angry.
Why?
Well, because everybody was ganging up on me. I couldn't take it anymore.
Everyone was doing that. Yeah. He put his foot through the bar.
Jesus Christ. Bar. Five car? Take it easy.
It wasn't solid oak. It was freaking drywall.
It doesn't matter.
His parents put the footprint in a plaque.
I don't think I've ever gotten that pissed off at a game where I fucking broke something. I know I threw a controller before. But you fucking put your foot through the wall. What is wrong with you?
Bomber, it wasn't a wall. It was
like a bar. Like it was a
bar.
Through the bar. Yeah.
Wall.
Pretty funny.
Were you there?
No.
Were you there, Kev?
I don't think so.
Oh, so you just heard it?
No. Was I there?
No.
No, I don't think I was there. I wasn't there.
We were probably soon to be there. He was probably like warming up for a tournament that night. You know?
Getting ready.
My dad.
There was plenty of them.
I bet he was, dude. I would have broken your fucking neck.
Whatever. As an adult, I know what drywall costs. He shouldn't have been that pissed. All right? It wasn't that much.
Yeah, but you didn't have to put the fucking drywall in and spackle that shit. If you spackled, spackle's a pain in the ass.
I spackled that. It's not that bad.
It's hard to do.
Oh, it is. No, I get. But it's only like, I mean, you're talking about like a 5x5. Not even 5. You're talking inches, not feet.
Doesn't matter. You put your
It's so funny, man.
It is funny. Wow. That was a life altering moment in my life. that's when I realized I have a problem.
But yeah.
That game will do that to you. It gets in your head.
No, it does. It frustrates the hell out of you.
And it's the cutesy.
That's it.
It's that music. That when you hear that, and then you get rage, like it's
crazy.
Just even crazy anger. Like, like it makes you even crazier.
And you know what? It's kind of the same theme, like just variated throughout the whole
game. It's really
game,
neat
right?
what they did with the music, yeah. Yeah.
Because it doesn't change. I mean, it's different when you fight the boss.
But they just kind of they're like, it is. It's the same underlying.
Which
like,
is kind of nice because like it's cool. If you play like Bubble Bobble, which is the same fucking thing for 100 levels.
Mm-hmm.
But this, they switch it up each.
Yeah.
Each one.
The music.
They're so upbeat.
Yeah, it's very upbeat.
You're literally blowing things the fuck up, and it's so happy.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Can you pull up that music, that ending music? Where the level itself starts closing in. And
oh, yeah. We'll see if we can find that. Mike's
hurry up.
Looking for that right now.
In the final 30 seconds.
When you hear that music, it's like you almost like, can't.
It's go time.
You end up watching the timer too much, and you don't even pay attention to what the hell you're doing. Yeah. That's usually when I blow myself up.
You know what's funny is that it's such a simple premise.
Yeah, it's like,
you think people
time
would
to
like
go.
You would think it would get old, but depending on the group of people you're playing, but even if you play with the computer, it still holds up. All of them. Like, it doesn't matter. I could play Bomberman for my PS3, or I could play this one, or any of the sequels, even the Japanese exclusive ones like Bomberman 3 through 5.
I've played. I think I played 2. I don't think I played 3.
Well, 3 through 5, I have no English. You don't need it, really. You don't really need it, but it's still there.
Right, okay.
You know, it's funny. It's like every level has its own quirks.
Right, right. Oh, there we go. Is that it?
It sounds like a boss fight.
That just says Neo Bomberman. I can't find, like,
I don't know what Neo...
That's a Neo Geo game.
Oh.
That's a good game. It sounds like a boss fight. Like, for example, the speed zone where everybody's maximum speed. So, like, it's tough
to stop. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dime.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough to stop on a dime and get around, you know, the right angles around bombs so you don't die.
And then they have the...
Or the power zone where everybody has all power
ups unlimited bombs.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And you could do bombs that stretch the entire row.
That level was always hysterical because the match is over in, like...
It'll be over in like three seconds.
Yeah,
like everybody, because everybody dumps all their bombs, and then like one guy will live. Like literally, that fight is 3 seconds long.
Yeah, that was always fun as hell to do.
Conveyor belts where like you punch bombs and they slowly go down or across the levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I like the in Bomberman 1, the Western Zone is just like the Power Zone where everybody's trapped in this in the center of the stage. And literally everybody drops a bomb and the two of you are dead because those two people have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So like the Western Zone's kind of funny. The Warp Zone where you can switch between five holes. So like you can, if you want to be a dick, you can like camp in front of one of the warps and wait for somebody to be unfortunate and they come out of it when you put the bomb down.
Yeah.
Because you have no defense in the coming out of the warp.
Yeah, they were pretty creative with that, with the levels, with the replay value. There's a lot of variance, you know, in the game for such a simple game.
There's a story to this game.
Go on.
Oh. Far to the north of Bomberman's hometown, Peacetown, there lies a modern metropolis, Diamond City.
Peacetown is inhabited by men that blow the fuck up.
That's why it's peaceful, dude. No one's blowing anything up in Peacetown when you got a bunch of people with bombs. There, the evil Karat Diamond and his cohort scientist, Dr. Mook, are holding a robot tournament. With robots specially designed for their combat offensive capabilities, hoping to steal Bomberman's advanced combat capabilities, Diamond has created a fake Bomberman to go to Peacetown and kidnap the real Bomberman. Holy shit.
Wow, this is pretty complex.
Aware of Diamond's plot,
complex.
Black Bomberman heads out alone to face the fake Bomberman, but Black Bomberman is defeated and his castle's taken. Somehow, Black Bomberman escapes, seeks refuge with White Bomberman, and warns him of Diamond's evil plan. Soon, wave upon wave of enemy robots begin their advance towards Peacetown. Now, our two heroes must join forces to overthrow the evil Diamond.
Well, now it all makes sense.
I always thought this game was like just a multiplayer. I didn't even know there was a single player.
Oh, like a actual like
or let alone like levels story.
Well,
I had no idea
that story. When you play the campaign, you don't see that story. There's no real campaign.
I bet you that's probably in like the manual.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a pretty crazy story for such a simple game.
So when you go through the game as a single player, are you playing these stages with the single?
Yeah, you're playing versus arena. Like random bad guys.
Okay. You'll just have like four or five random things that are just aimlessly going around the board, and you just try to trap them and blow them up.
Yeah. It's fun.
It's fun.
But the battle mode is... That's where it's at. Yeah.
But the battle mode, you can play the computer itself. You can do three.
Yeah, you can play with bots. You don't have to have three other human beings. Okay. You can play against three computer-controlled computer opponents.
Yeah, it's fun.
It still holds up.
No, it does. Yeah. It's a great game. So.
Still holds up. It's a great game.
On that, thank you for joining us in another episode of Emulate This. You can find us at Facebook. I'm sorry, on Facebook, search Emulate This, on Twitter, at Emulate This, and email us at emulatethis@outlook.com.
You can also find us high atop Eastern Road.
That's right.
Jerking off.
Or Turn a panic button. Yeah.
What the hell that? Was that? Oh, yo, you know what?
Uh huh.
The other day, I had a really good meal at Panic Restaurant.
Panic Restaurant, is that what that was? Oh, that scared the shit out of me.
I just won.
Oh, that was awesome. That was awesome.
Fuck you.
Oh, Kev, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's a good time. We'll do it again. We'll do it again. I promise we'll do this again.
We're going to do it again, baby.
I feel like you'll be back.
You think I'll be back?
I think you will. Wow. I think you will.
All right.
All right.
All right. Go Eagles.
Peace out.
See ya.
Go Eagles.